Always good to check in with Wendy Patrick, an attorney, taking a look at some of the legal stories making headlines in our busy, busy week we've got going on. Wendy, welcome back in. Thanks for being here.
Hey, it's always a pleasure to join you.
Boy, there was a lot of controversy in Texas, and now the Department of Justice has filed a lawsuit against the state over its new law outlawing abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. Where do you think this will end up there with this lawsuit? It is the Department of Justice, but, you know, Texas has some state rights to do what they need to do, too.
Yeah, and that's what they're going to argue. You know, you often see these types of lawsuits. You saw a lot of these during the Trump administration where you have, you know, the DOJ bringing suit as well as other agencies. But what they're really going to have to wait for, most likely in a case like this, is what does the Supreme Court say about the constitutionality of moving the goalpost? Because remember, this isn't about can you have an abortion, it's about when. So the Roe versus Wade, obviously, that line of cases says viability. This Texas law talks about a heartbeat. Now, remember that on its docket, the Supreme Court is going to decide that Mississippi case this fall, which set that mark at 15 weeks. So that's obviously somewhere right in the middle. But the rationale the Supreme Court will use in that case, which unlike their ability to block the Texas law from going into effect, the Mississippi case is going to, you know, be briefed on both sides, orally argued, and a full decision will be rendered by the court. You have to believe they're going to be deciding that with the Texas law in mind, because whatever they say there, you can be sure is going to be considered when challenging the Texas law, because the Texas law could be a blueprint for red states if it holds water. So that's one of the things that lawmakers on both sides are going to be watching, as they understand that this Mississippi case is going to have some far-reaching consequences.
Well, there are certainly passionate arguments on both sides. I'm just glad to see that the unborn child is finally getting some representation here. But you're right.
Absolutely.
This has already been decided, the Supreme Court, Roe v. Wade. With these cases in Texas, Mississippi, and likely others, as you mentioned, this could set some really good precedent, depending on where you stand on the issue. Roe v. Wade potentially leading to overturning that?
No, never. No, and you know, that's even though even the people that are staunchly pro-life, they understand you can't legally, obviously morally is another thing, but legally you can't outlaw that kind of precedent. But you can move the standard. And here would be their argument. Back when Roe was decided, we didn't have the kind of medical ability we have nowadays to see, hear, experience a fetus so young. I mean, heartbeat at 6 weeks. I got to tell you, many women change their minds about an abortion when they can hear the little heartbeat and see right. That, you know, that precious life forming. But we didn't have a lot of that ability back when Roe was decided. So it might be true that the viability standard could be challenged and has been and is in that Mississippi case that the Supreme Court will be hearing this fall. But that would be one way that Roe would be modernized, because we really have experienced so much evolution in terms of medicine. And, you know, even some on the far left, if it were them in the same kind of experience that they're arguing, maybe even some of them wouldn't be able to go through with it once you could actually see. So that would be the way I think Roe would be eroded, but certainly not overruled.
Right. The line is going to move now, because certainly the medical advancements we've had over the years are incredible in the survivability rate of, you know, younger and younger fetuses is incredible what's happening. So, all right, we'll keep an eye on that. Quickly, Prince Andrew's first court appearance today on the sexual harassment suit. What's going on here?
Well, Prince Andrew didn't actually appear, and that therein lies the rub, is it is hard to get him to the States to answer for a civil suit. Now, if it's criminal, we can use our extradition treaty powers, but we don't have that. However, you've heard of palace intrigue. There is no palace immunity. So he's not immune from being sued. But because he's not going to travel here voluntarily, this trial is going to be an empty chair. They can go forward without him. Now, of course, there's a lot of issues there when you don't have one side participating. So it was a first appearance, and his lawyers can bring the appropriate legal arguments. But I do not think we are going to see Prince Andrew crossing the pond to personally answer in person.
All right. Well,
holding my breath.
Quickly, how do you think it ends up at the end of the day?
Well, I think they could find a judgment, because remember, it's civil suit, preponderance of the evidence. It's
right.
not proof beyond a reasonable doubt. Then the question becomes, how do you enforce it? You know, what do you attach? Where are his assets? You know, one thing we hoped we might see is some sort of a criminal probe being instituted in London. Because remember, one of the incidents occurred in London that Virginia Dufresne is basically alleging. However, we have statutes of limitations, we have other issues, and right. we also have zero prosecution by the Brits. So he's not going to escape. His reputation may never recover, but I also don't think he's going to be held liable.
All right. Very good. Wendy Patrick, always good to catch up with you. Thank you.